So the message today is called The Power of the Turnaround. You know, all of us have a different story. In fact, these comeback stories we've been sharing from our house, a few weeks ago, we told the story of comebacks that can happen when unexpected circumstances, unforeseen circumstances crash into our lives, domino into our world, things that we didn't plan on or plans that we had hoped for that didn't materialize, and how God can work in and through those situations. Last week, we talked about how whatever it is that it resides in our past, that doesn't have to define us. In fact, in God's economy, our past can prepare us for everything God wants to do in our lives in the future. We talked about how none of us are finished because of the things of our past, but how God can take the remains of whatever it is, whether it's just a ground up dream or hope, and he can begin to paint in a brand new way things that reflect his glory, his power, and his purpose for our lives. Today we talk about a very specific comeback, and today's comeback is something that all of us know about or all of us need. And it is the comeback when you are in that place in life where you are not at peace with God. You are not at peace with yourself. And you are not at peace with the people around you. And I don't know where you are in your journey today. All of us have been and keep coming to those kinds of places in life. But I'm specifically talking today about somebody in this room who is sitting on a major need for God to resurrect your life and set you on a path of truth. And it's possible that the person sitting right next to you doesn't even know the depth of the comeback that you need. You see, God is in this place today, not just so that we can show up and, you know, have a wonderful Palm Sunday gathering, but he's in this place today to turn the story around. And he can do that today in a hurry if we come to the place in our lives where we're ready to say, I've had it with what I've been holding inside. I've had it with this story that nobody fully knows. I've had it with a life that really has been, you know, hidden from the people even closest to me. And I want God to come into my world, into my story, and I want him to break me free and set me on a path towards a new direction in my life. And that's possible today. Palm Sunday, you know, is a crazy day because we're celebrating the moment that Jesus willingly chose to walk into danger. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem for the week of Passover, he already knew that he was a dead man walking. He knew coming into the city what his fate was going to be, but he chose to enter the city anyway. He came riding low on a donkey, but the people thought he should have been riding high, so they threw palm branches before him and they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But all the while he's thinking, this is a whole different story by the end of the week. They're shouting Hosanna on the front side of the week, but they're gonna crucify me on the back side of the week. He knew how quickly the joy in the front of the week, people who were for him in the front of the week, was gonna turn into his death at the end of the week. And some of those same people were gonna turn against him in a very short matter of time. And I think in the same way, he knew coming into the week, all of sin is stacked against the world coming into the week, but at the end of the week, the story is going to turn around and all of the grace of God and the mercy of God is going to be available to all people once and for all at the end of the week. Things are going to change this week. Their shouts of praise are going to turn into crucify him, but the upper hand of the enemy to destroy our lives is going to turn into God's power to fully restore and change our lives. And we are sitting in that kind of turnaround power right in this moment today. It's possible, think about this, that sitting right where you're sitting, you could make a decision today that would absolutely pull a 180 shift in your life. You came in this place today walking a determined direction, but you walk out of the place walking the opposite direction towards the hope and into the restoration that God has for you. And that's possible for every single one of us in this place today. If it's going to happen, a few things have to be true of you, and a few things have to be true of me. And the first of those is that you just have to agree that for me and my comeback story, the first step of my comeback story is a turnaround step where I say to God, I want to come back to you. Now see, I say again, you may be, you know, right in the middle of a bunch of friends or people, or maybe you were singing the songs earlier, part of Passion City Church, but you know deep down inside, there are things in your life that are not congruent with God's purposes and plans. And therefore, there's not peace deep down in your heart. Even on the surface, things may look great. And there's not peace with God deep down in your heart, because when you sing the songs we sang today, you know that deep down there are things that are not fitting with what we just sang together. And there are people maybe around you who even don't know how much they're not at peace with you right now, because they don't know the reality of what's going on in your life. And for you and me and every one of us today, our comeback story starts exactly the same way. You know, we all end up in different places in life. So all of our stories are different, yes. And all of our comebacks at the end of the day are different. But the first step in every single one of our comebacks is the very same step. So we may be on a different journey coming in, and it may be a different process going out. But the key component in your comeback and in my comeback is the very same step. And it actually isn't a step. It's a turnaround. It's a change of direction. And until you and I on board with that reality today, we're never going to move forward into the restoring plan and purpose that God has for our lives. The first thing that you and I have to come around today and celebrate today is that every comeback starts with one move, and that move is a turnaround move. In the book, The Comeback, I shared this story, which I've told a lot at Passion City Church, but you know, it's not that heavy of a story, but at the time, it was a pretty big turnaround moment for me. College student, you know, working as a youth pastor in a church in the city, failing out of Georgia State University, asked not to come back to Georgia State for a few semesters because my GPA was down into territory that I didn't even know you could really have a GPA in. And so I had gone to Kennesaw to enroll in some classes out there while I was taking my break from Georgia State University. And turns out I was also now failing out of Kennesaw University. But one day I'm driving up to Kennesaw, knowing that, you know, I'm kind of already out of the mix up there, but going nonetheless. My mom was working at Kennesaw at the time, and so I kind of had to show up and look like I actually was doing something still. And I know no one would relate to that, but I mean, just a really frustrating place in the academic journey of my life. I'm driving up 75 from this area up towards Kennesaw. I get outside 285. I'm just thinking about how much I love God. I love being a youth pastor. I love the fact that God is sort of leading my life towards ministry in the future. And we're just doing the normal thing of riding in the car and me being aware of him and his presence in my life. We're talking together. And at some point, I just feel an impression from God of him just kind of saying to me, Louis, you know, how do you feel about being a pastor one day? Or, you know, I didn't know what that meant exactly, but, you know, how do you feel about the calling I'm putting on your life? And I'm like, I love it. I don't want to do anything else but proclaim your word. He says, that's great. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so honored. I'm so excited. I'm so ready to do that. You know, this failing out of school thing is a pain, you know? So I'm ready to get on with, like, the calling that you have on my life. And he said, well, I'm ready too. He goes, you know, seminary is going to be awesome because you're going to get trained and equipped to, you know, preach and to understand the scriptures and to be, you know, better suited to do the things I've called you to do. And I said, I know, man, I'm just having this conversation. I'm like, I can't wait for seminary. It's going to be so awesome. All these, you know, undergraduate courses, who cares? But man, thinking about seminary, it's going to be amazing. We're just cruising up 75, having the best conversation until I sense His reply is this: well, you know, as he's helping me now add it up, to go to seminary that you have to have an undergraduate degree. And everything suspended. And I thought, oh, I have to have a bachelor's degree in order to get the master's degree. Therefore, this is all crazy what's going on right now. That's not going to class, not respecting the process, wasting my parents' money, wasting my time. That's all got to end today. And almost cutting somebody off in the lane next to me. No kidding. I just went two lanes over into the first exit I could get in. And I think one exit past Windy Hill, I'm now in the exit lane, up to the overpass, take a left, cross the freeway, back down on 75. I'm going southbound now. I drive straight down into the city, right down into one of the parking decks at Georgia State, up into the deck, into a space, down the stairs, across the street, into the dean of my particular school's office. Classes are already 4 days in to a new term, and I just asked the assistant, I need help. I got to make a change. I need to get back into class, and I need to see the dean today. And she's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And I'm like, it needs to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm like, no, it needs to happen. He can't see you today. I said, you know what? I'm going to sit on your sofa right here, and I'm going to just sit there till the end of the day. And if anything changes, you'll see me right here, because I'm obviously sitting right in front of your desk. And I sat there a couple of hours until she had mercy on me and got me in to see that dean. What was that all about? That was a turnaround moment. And yeah, of lower consequence, but pretty major consequence in that day. Because there was a change of heart. There was a change of attitude. There was a change of mind. That's what the word in Scripture, repentance, means. It means I changed my mind. Not like, oh, I think I like green. Oh, no, I really like blue. Oh, no, I'm going to go green. No, okay, I'm going to go aquamarine, blue-green. No, not that kind of changing your mind. The kind of changing your mind where you say, you know what? This isn't working for me anymore. You know what? I'm done with this path. You know what? I don't want to live with this weight on my life anymore. I don't want to do it this way anymore. I remember there's a different way. God's opened my eyes to understand there's another way, and I'm changing my mind today. And when that happens to you and I, internally before externally, we exit the freeway, we go to the overpass, we make a turn, we loop around a U-turn, and we head in another direction. Internally, we say, I'm turning around, changing direction, changing my mindset today. I'm repenting right here and right now, because I know I don't have a comeback without a turnaround. And we can dream all day long about what our lives might look like, or how God could work things out, or how we could end up in a different place. But we're not ending up anywhere in life unless there's a turnaround moment in our world, unless there's a moment in our lives where we say, I've had enough. We shared earlier, and I think our first comeback round, about this son of this wonderful father, two sons, one of them wants all of his wealth and riches. He gets his inheritance early. He wastes it all in crazy living, thinking that's going to really be the thing for him. Eventually runs out of money. Famine comes. You all know the story. He ends up in a pig pen looking at pig slop. And the Scripture says, as Jesus tells this story, and when he came to himself, when he came to himself, he had a repentant moment. It wasn't a moment of, oh, I'm going to get up right now and take a step towards a comeback. No, in his mind, he thought it through. And in his mind, he said, I'm done with this, and I'm going to move toward that. He had a step in his mind inside that moved him in his actions outside. He had a comeback step. It's like the prophet Zechariah, and many of the prophets record very similar statements to you and me. But the prophet Zechariah says it this way in chapter 1, down in verse 3. He says, therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, there's a lot of the Lord Almighty's in one verse of Scripture. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me. In other words, start a comeback. And how do you start a comeback? By turning around. So do that. Return to me. Return. Exit, cross over, re-enter, and turn around. Return to me, says the Lord Almighty, and I will then return to you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, this is obviously a beautiful picture of what's going to happen on Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter in full, but it's always God's intention to say, I'm ready to walk with you into a brand new future. I'm ready to restore you in a way that will bring peace to your life, deep down peace, peace with yourself, peace with God, and peace with the people around you. But you've got to return to me. I'm ready to return to you. Now, God hasn't gone anywhere, by the way. There's nowhere on earth we can go to escape God's presence. We can't get away from God's purposes and plans. What he's saying simply is, if you will turn around, in the instant that you turn around, you will begin to experience the grace of an extraordinary comeback story. This prodigal son, as a lot of people call him, the moment in his mind that he said, I'm changing everything today. I'm done with this and I'm starting a journey back to my father. In that instant is where his grace began. Oh, his grace didn't begin when he got back to the house, when he got the robe, the ring, the sandals on his feet, when he got the feast and the party and the fatted calf. That's not where the grace began. That's where he realized that the grace was already waiting for him the whole time. And you and I have grace waiting for us today. Enough grace to restore us, waiting for us today. But it's never going to happen in your life until you are willing to take the turnaround step today. And as soon as in your mind you say, I'm going to return to God, in that instant, in that very instant, grace is available to you. The second thing that has to be true of you and me is that we have to come to believe that the wait, W-A-I-T, is increasing the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. That the weight in the turnaround moment is increasing the weight that's crushing you right now. And what the enemy wants to cleverly do is invert that equation. And he wants to say to you, you know, on the other side of your turnaround is going to be a lot of hard things, a lot of hard conversations, a lot of hard restoration. It's going to be a really weighty and heavy process, and it can be a very difficult process. I'm not minimizing that. And so the approach is usually, let's just don't do that. Let's just wait and see what happens. Let's just not do that, because why do that? Because there's a lot of hardship on the other side of doing that, and the people sitting 8 feet from you right now don't even know you need that turnaround possibly, so let's just don't do that. But the reality is that the longer we wait, the heavier the weight. And for some of us, that weight is literally, not just spiritually and figuratively, beginning to crush in to our lives. That's what the psalmist was saying in Psalm 38, a psalm that, you know, I'm not really sure you're going to hear too many people saying, yeah, I was just reading in Psalm 38 today, or you're going to hear too many people quoting Psalm 38. It sort of just sneaks its way in into this section of the Psalms. But when you read it, this is the roadmap for people who need a turnaround moment to have a comeback story. This is your roadmap right here, Psalm 38. It opens like this: O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. In other words, what the psalmist is implying is that we can have physiological complications because of the waiting period of coming to a turnaround moment. That's pretty profound. And so he amplifies it now in verse 4, and he really lays it out exactly the way we're seeing it today. He says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My guilt has overwhelmed me, and it's like a weight or a burden too difficult or too heavy for me to carry. And so it's possible that you and I could be at a place in life where there are things deep down in our heart where we're not at peace with ourselves. We're not at peace, honestly, with God. I mean, on the surface we are, but deep down we're not. And we're not at peace with the people around us. And on the surface, it may look fantastic, but what is reality for us is we're feeling the weight more and more and more. And day by day, week by week, month by month, in some cases, year by year by year, the weight just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And eventually, the weight just is too heavy for us to bear. We can't bear it emotionally, psychologically, physiologically, spiritually, relationally. We can't bear the weight. And that's where things began to unravel in our lives. And what God is inviting us into today is to understand this, that the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of our guilt and sin fell on Jesus. So that the possibility today exists that you and I could turn around into the grace of God and actually walk free of the heaviness that we have voluntarily taken on our lives for a long time. It says in 1 Peter that he bore our sins in his body on the cross. You can just picture that, of Jesus carrying to the cross the weight of our sin and shame. Gethsemane, where he prayed on that night, means the crushing place. And so how would a crushing happen in an olive grove where Jesus prayed? A heavy stone would crush the seeds from within the olive, so the weight of that stone would produce the oil from the olive itself, in the same way that the weight of our sin was going to crush the innocent life of Jesus and produce for us a freedom, a grace, a mercy, a kindness, a comeback path for our lives. But it happens when we come on board with the idea that the longer I wait, the heavier is the weight. But if I cease the weight and enter into a turnaround moment today, that's the moment that the weight goes off of our shoulders. It doesn't mean all the consequences are worked out, all the details are worked out, all the adjustments have to happen. But listen, the consequences, the adjustments, the details, the path, the purpose, and the plan, it's hard, yes, but it's so much better without that crushing weight on top of you and on top of me, now replaced by a peacefulness deep down inside with God and with ourselves, and a peacefulness possibly with the people all around us. If you could just imagine, it'd be like wet cement, and maybe they'd come in down a driveway or a sidewalk near, and you know when you're kids, you want to put your fingerprints, your handprints, your footprints, your initials in the wet cement, but eventually you come back the next day, and there it is, and it's hardened, and it's solid now, and whatever's in it now is going to be in it for a long, long time. And God is trying to say today for you and me, the cement of our lives is still wet today. And it's possible to ask God to turn things in our hearts even now towards his outcome and plan for our lives. If maybe you're saying, no, the cement's not wet, Louis, it hasn't been wet for a long time. Well, God can still jackhammer into the middle of it all and release whatever needs to be released. But the longer you wait, the harder the cement. The longer we may wait, the more effort is required to crack open the turnaround in the comeback story. And we're just under a canopy of grace, especially in this week. Our Savior is riding into town on a donkey, willingly taking on board everything we've done so that you and I can experience freedom and forgiveness from God. This is the time for the turnaround to happen in your life and in mine. And so I want to encourage us today to begin to cultivate a lifestyle of repentance. You know, in a lot of our minds, repentance is that awful, you know, revival word, you know, hell, fire, and damnation, and repent now, and a long finger pointed at you. But it's really not that. It's really a lifestyle that says, I want to often change my mind. I want to often change my direction. I want to often change the way I'm thinking. I want to often redirect towards God. I want to have a lifestyle of changing my tendency to stray my way into a dependency to walk God's way. I want to cultivate a lifestyle of repentance in me. And today that begins for all of us in the same way. The psalmist in Psalm 38, and you can read the whole psalm, but he says in verse 18, this is where the cultivating begins and what it looks like. He says, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. And then he goes on down to say in verse 21, O Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me. O my God, come quickly to help me. O Lord, my Savior. And so cultivation today looks like three things. It looks like, number one, personal repentance, a personal turnaround. You don't need to have a conversation with anyone other than God, led by His Spirit in the face of Jesus Himself, to say, I want to confess what you already know, and I want to go on the record as saying, this is my moment to change it all. The second part of cultivating that repentance, though, is a private turnaround. And the private turnaround means that there's going to be people very close to you that you're going to need to say to them, you need to know, I've had a personal turnaround. What does that mean? Well, the son sitting in the pig pen, he said, I'm coming to my senses now. I'm awakening to my senses now. And you know what he did? The very first thing he did, he wrote a letter to his father. The first thing he did. He said, Dear Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But if you'll just take me back as a hired servant, I'll come and work all the rest of my days because it's better there than it is here. So immediately he had a personal turnaround. I am done with this. But then he had a private circle turnaround and he wrote a letter to his dad right away. And as he started down the road, it wasn't just gonna be, I'm just gonna go to a different town and get a different start. I'm just going to go to another place and get some new friends or go to another farm and try to get a job there. He said, no, I'm going to go back to my dad. And cultivating a lifestyle of repentance means that in our inner circle of people, we're often saying, I want to keep short accounts with you. I'm trying to keep short accounts with me and with God. And I want to keep short accounts with you because I know that I have a tendency to stray my way, but I want a dependency to walk God's way. And maybe even in the next hour, God is going to lead you to have a conversation with someone in your private circle. And you say, Louis, that conversation is going to change the direction of everything. It is. But in that direction of everything, you're going to be walking free of the stone that is grinding you down into the ground and has already changed the direction of everything. And you're going to be walking in the freedom and knowing that heaven's wind is in your sail. Isn't that beautiful? When the sheep was found, the story Jesus told went this way, and when one sheep is found, it's like the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents, who turns around. The coin was lost, and the lady, you know, searched the whole house. When she found that coin, what did Jesus say? He said, it's just like that in heaven. He said, you know, heaven doesn't rejoice over the 99 people that are like, yeah, I'm good. Heaven rejoices over the one person who says, I need a turnaround. And in the same way, he said, when that coin was found, it represented how in heaven the angels rejoice over just one person who makes that turn. It's possible that somebody in this room today, in the far back, right on the very front row, left, right, middle, somebody here today is going to ignite a celebration in heaven. The wind of heaven is going to start blowing your way, and you're going to need it, because walking a new path to freedom, it's not that easy, and there are consequences, but the wind of heaven's going to be at your back. The joy of freedom is going to be in your heart. The lift of the heaviness is going to allow you to breathe again and to become everything God wants you to be. But the other part of cultivating a lifestyle of repentance is that there also may be a public component to that repentance story. It probably won't start that way. You probably don't need to put an ad in the paper, but you may in fact need to tell some people, this is the way it really went down. And I've had a turnaround with God, and I'm on a whole new comeback journey with God, and I'm at a whole new place with God, but I need to come and make peace with you. And to with those people, let the chips fall where they may, but to know that you've got that freedom to continue to move into all that God has purposed and planned for your life. All of us have been there. It's likely that in some way in life, we're all going to be there regularly, hopefully not in massive ways, but in small ways, because our hearts bend away from God. But isn't it powerful today to think that somebody here, that this could be that moment that the weight lifts? You know, we've shared such incredible stories here. And today we are going to close by sharing another amazing story that really just amplifies the power of everything Jesus is offering to us today. And it's the story of someone who represents a lot of someones that we're wanting to impact in this series, The Comeback Continues. And so I just want to invite you to turn your attention to the screen. Here, the story of a God who meets us at the lowest point of life, who lifts us into the fullness and the purpose that he has for us. So take a look, watch the screens, and then we'll continue together.
I was born in a small town called Eastfield, Georgia. It's in Oconee County. I was raised on a farm, and my dad was raised cotton. He raised soybeans. He also, we owned a little small country store that, you know, my mom was she run that store while dad was in the fields. And we had a good life as, you know, picking cotton, and we had plenty of dogs. We had horses, and we had a goat farm. Things changed, though, when my father died. It was a rough time. I mean, because everybody was really against each other again. And, you know, all I really wanted, and especially my younger brother at the time, is dad back. Then there was drugs and alcohol started my older brothers. And, you know, we're growing up, we're seeing these things with them, and our lifestyle changed. I ended up being married to my high school sweetheart at 18 years old. Just turned 18, like I'm really ready for something like this, and I wasn't. We ended up with two kids, and years later we ended up in a divorce, and my life was kind of not stable. It was not stable. There was no stability at all in my life after that. And years later, I was living, had my own place. I was living on my own. And I was supposed to go pick up my children for trick-or-treating this particular night. But I didn't have a vehicle at the time, so my cousin was supposed to come and take me to pick up my children. Well, he didn't get off work till late. So when he finally came in, we decided to ride around and just, you know, visit people or whatever. And we went by this game room, and it was kind of late. And this gentleman asked us, we didn't know, for a ride. So, you know, we said, sure. Went up, you know, we got ready to go. He left with us, and I'm going to skip through all the details of this because this is very sensitive. The guy ended up dead, okay? And we hit his body. It's the worst thing that I ever did or he ever did. We got literally sick that night. I mean, we're both 24 years old. My life even changed even more after that. I really couldn't trust anybody because I thought everybody was really out to get me or something. But nobody really knew about this. We were investigated and the whole crime just turned away from us in 1985 after they found his body. We were interviewed and it turned away. It was just turmoil. I mean, I didn't have a life. In 1995, I was at work, and detectives walked through the door and arrested me for murder on my job. And I remember sitting in the back seat of that car. And I don't know if y'all ever read, if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress before, but when that burden came off of that back, when I was sitting in that back of that police car, I was so glad I was arrested that day. But I was still a liar. I still kept saying I had nothing to do with this. I don't know what's going on. I still kept piling it right back on. The detective and the sheriff, they transferred me to this other county where the judge that was proceeding on my case was at the time. And he said, Mr. Gordon, I sentence you to a natural life sentence to spend the rest of your natural born days incarcerated. When they shackled me and took me out of the courthouse in Hartwell, Georgia, sits in the middle. There's a road all the way around it, and parking lots are on each side, other side of the road. Well, when the light turned green, the traffic was running by, and I'm standing on the edge of the sidewalk, and I'm just thinking in my head at this moment, you know, everything that's hitting me, I almost want to jump in front of this truck that's coming. Officer knocks on the door. This is the same day I was sentenced. It's about 10 o'clock at night now. And he knocks on the door and says, you want something to read? I say, sure. He comes back and there's a flap in the door where they put our tray and our food and book box and stuff in. And he sticks a book in. I grab the book. He slams the flap shut and I see and I look, it's a Bible. I'm like, throw it right up on the top bunk. And then I start back my pacing back and forth. And as I'm pacing back and forth, I'm seeing the Bible lay up there. But my pacing is slowing down now because all these memories of what has happened to me is not coming to my mind, but they're being flooded with the hope of what's in that book. And then it's just this overwhelming flood. I just drop to my knees and I just start crying. And I just start crying and I start repenting. And I couldn't help but do what you're doing there and smile. And it was just little things. It just seemed like the room was brighter. There was no more dark. It seemed like I had hope again. I started going to church at that little county jail and listening. My life changed. My whole life and intake, everything has changed. I have hope. I mean, people are saying, I have no hope, I have no hope. You're looking in the wrong places. You're looking in the dark corners or you're looking in the magazines that you got hid in your lockers. I'm talking about the guys in prison. They feel like they have no hope and there's no comeback for them. They just feel like God don't care about them or how can he forgive somebody like me? I used to think like that too, you know, because I did a terrible thing. But having a comeback, it is possible. But you got to get it in here to get it here. You got to read. Books about changing life and biblical principles. And it's very growing, it's growth in their lives to have things like this. I had no life. I have purpose now in life. I have purpose in Christ because of Him. He is my comeback.